Look, just for the next few moments, I want to take us to a story in the Gospel of Mark. It's a story, it's actually this perfect opportunity that Jesus would seize on as a teaching moment for his disciples. They find themselves in a boat in the middle of a storm. In fact, it's found in Mark's Gospel, the fourth chapter, beginning in verse 35. It says, "On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, 'Let us cross over to the other side.' Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were with them as well. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern," speaking of Jesus, "he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them," he turns to his disciples in that moment, and he says to them, "Why are you so fearful? Why are you afraid? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" In this moment, Jesus is asking one of those piercing and very direct questions to his disciples. We see this several times throughout the Gospels where Jesus encounters someone and he'll ask a question. And when he asks the question, Jesus doesn't ask a question because he needs the answer. He asks the question of individuals because he wants them to do an introspective look. He wants them to take inventory of their own life. It's not because he needs the answer. He is the answer. It's just like when he met the man at the pool, the lame man at the pool, and he asked them another probing question, just as he did with these disciples on the boat that day. He asked that man lying on the mat on the ground, he says, "Do you want to be made well?" It was a probing question, and in our text today, we see another one of those piercing questions. And I believe, just like Jesus was asking his disciples on the boat that day, I believe for those of us who maybe are watching today, who maybe find ourselves in the middle of a trial, or maybe going through or experiencing a great storm in life, or maybe in our family's life somehow we're going through a great storm, I believe that he may be asking each one of us the same question today, and it's simply that: why are you so afraid? Why are you fearful? Why are you afraid? We've learned over these last few years that meteorologists, we've always made fun of meteorologists, how they always get it wrong, but it seems like in recent years they've gotten a little more accurate, maybe because of the modern technology that we have today and being able to predict storms. And for those of us who live here in the deep South, we know how that storms can just pop up out of nowhere, unexpected, and sometimes leaving us ill-prepared. It can be very terrifying at times when all of a sudden just a massive storm will just pop up out of nowhere and it's heading our way. And it's very terrifying, especially if we find ourselves in a position where we're very vulnerable or maybe we're completely exposed to all the elements. What's interesting is that as we go through life, sometimes life can just be good. Sometimes we're in those smooth sailing days of life, and that's wonderful, and we give God thanks during those seasons. But then sometimes, many times in all of our lives, if we haven't yet, we will experience where all of a sudden a storm of life will pop up out of nowhere. Maybe it's during one of those seasons where we're thinking, "Oh man, this is smooth sailing, life is good." And then all of a sudden our spouse goes to the doctor to check something out, and suddenly we have this horrible news, and it just comes out of nowhere, and you feel all of a sudden like the rug's been pulled out from underneath you, and you don't even know which way to turn, or you don't really even know how you're going to make it through this storm or this trial. Or maybe you've been working with one of your children. Maybe you're adolescent or grown children, and you've been working with them and praying with them, and all of a sudden you think that they're doing so good, and they finally got their life together, and they're back on the right track, only for you to find out a truth that you didn't know. Your child has been making horrible or bad decisions, and all of a sudden, it doesn't matter what all is going well in your life. Now, all of a sudden, everything zeroes in on that, and you find yourself in the middle of a storm. What's always been very interesting to me is how that church folks, us good old church folks are sometimes the very best at hiding the storms that we're going through in our lives. Some of us right now, we may look totally fine on the outside, but behind that smile, we're in the middle of a storm, and maybe no one else even knows about it. For some of us, maybe even our own spouse doesn't know about the storm that we're facing in our own heart or mind or life. In fact, I've seen at times where people, they'll get jealous even of others. Maybe even other church members, someone sitting down the row from you at church, they get jealous thinking, man, I wish I had their life. Man, I wish I was able to live in that kind of house. Meanwhile, that other person at the end of the row, they're thinking, I'm two payments behind on this house, and it's about to go to foreclosure, and I'm about to lose my home, and nobody even knows about the private storm that I'm facing in my life. Sometimes people look at others and say, man, I wish I had a marriage like theirs. They seem to have it all together and they get along so well. Meanwhile, that other couple sitting down the row from you at church, they're saying, we can fake it pretty good on the outside, but on the inside, we're barely hanging on by a thread. Sometimes we look so good on the outside, and nobody else knows what we deal with when we finally close the door behind the world at the end of the night. Nobody knows how we cry ourselves to sleep. Nobody knows that most of the time you feel alone. Nobody knows it, but we put on our smile. And meanwhile, on the inside, we're in a storm and nobody knows about it. In fact, this morning, I want to ask all of us a very sensitive question. In fact, I'm kind of glad that you're able to be in the privacy of your home, maybe sitting in your recliner or watching this on your device alone today. I'm kind of glad because I want to ask some probing questions, just like one probing question, just like Jesus did that day on the boat. And I want us to really begin to look at it and answer it honestly with ourselves and with God. And I just wonder how many right now would say, and maybe it's a big one, maybe it's a small one, maybe it's something that you see coming into your life, maybe it's something that a close loved one in your life is facing or dealing with. But how many of you right now would say that right now in this moment, you or someone you're close to is in the middle of a great storm right now? So many of us, so often in our lives, are in the middle of things that we didn't see coming. And we would have never chosen this in our lives, but it happened. The storm blew into our lives, and we never expected it, and we never thought we would ever see this kind of moment or event happen in our lives. From this story that we read of Jesus and the disciples, he's asking that piercing question, why are you so afraid? Why are you so afraid? And out of this story, and even just from that one question, there's two things that I would like for us to be able to carry away with us from this message today. Just two things that I would like for us to remember if we find ourselves in the middle of a storm. Two simple things to remember and embrace when we're in the storms of life. And the first one is this, and I hope this is good news to you today. I hope this encourages you and strengthens you when we remind ourselves of this amazing truth from God's Word. And the first thing is this, that if you're in a storm, you are in a storm with His presence. You're in a storm. If you're in a storm today, you are in that storm with the presence of our good God. Verse 37 shows us that a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was filling. But then we see in verse 38, it tells us the reality of this danger that they were facing, and the reason they were so afraid was because of this storm and the waves crashing in and the water filling the boat. But then in verse 38, it tells us that Jesus was in the stern asleep on a pillow. Jesus was in the stern. He was actually on the boat. Here's what happens so often, though, and I talk to a lot of people all the time who wrongly believe that if they're with Jesus or Jesus is with them, that there shouldn't be a storm in their life. They're thinking, I gave my life to Christ, therefore it should be smooth sailing from here on out in my life. And that is just simply not true. In fact, Jesus said this. These are Christ's words, letters in red in your Bible if you read them. He says, in this world you will have trouble. It's a guarantee. You're going to face storms. You're going to face trials, Jesus is saying. In this life, this natural life, you will have trouble. But take heart, for I have overcome the world. Jesus never promised that if we come to him that life would be easy and that it would be storm-free. He never said that. In fact, the reality is often the opposite of that. When we move from darkness to light, suddenly we step into the middle of a spiritual battle. Christianity is not a playground. It's a battlefield between the forces of darkness and the forces of light. And when we step onto the side of light, suddenly darkness is against us. And we will face opposition, and we will face temptation, and there will be spiritual warfare. Ephesians 6 is very, very clear about that, about how we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, wickedness in high places. This is a reality. In fact, in the coming weeks, I want to talk a little bit about prayer. I want to talk and emphasize prayer and what prayer really is. Prayer is many things in our life. It's our communion with the Lord. It's the way we relate to him and speak to him and hear from him. But prayer is also, as we speak of spiritual warfare and this battlefield that we face in our hearts and in our minds and our lives, prayer is also the offensive tool in our belt. So many times we think it's just a reactive tool. So many times we look at it as the defense. I'm going through a problem, so I pray. It's the last thing I can do. It's my last resort. All I can do now is pray. But I believe that God is telling us, you can come to me first. You can call on me first, I will answer. I am there. Ephesians 6 tells us that we will face this battle in our lives and in our spirit. And to think that just because I'm with Jesus, nothing should go wrong in my life, that is a total distortion of the message of the gospel. In fact, God never promises us that just because Jesus is in the boat, that the storm will not rock you. What he is promising us and what he does promise us, the storm may rock us, but it will not sink you. His promise is that the storm will never sink you, because God is for us and God is with us, and there is nothing that can take us away from the presence of God, the ever presence of God. Jesus all along was in the stern. All along he was with them. He was in the boat. He was on the boat. And that is the game changer. That's what changes everything in our lives, when we realize that his presence is with us. There's a study that talks about the elderly, especially maybe elderly who are living alone, who maybe have lost a spouse, and they're widowed now. And in this study, it says that older people actually live longer if there's something in the house that is living. It says that you live longer when there's anything, whatever it may be, anything else in the house that's actually living, anything at all. It could be a house plant. It could be a fern. It could be a little cute lap dog or a big ugly dog. It could be a goldfish in a bowl or a hamster or a ferret. It doesn't matter. But what we know is that older people live longer if there's something in the house that is living. And every now and then, some of us are going to find ourselves in the middle of a storm, and it's going to get really bad at times, and it's going to get very turbulent at times, and there's going to be a great opportunity for fear and anxiety and panic, and people are going to look on us and at that moment, and they're going to say, how are you getting through this? How are you enduring this? How come while your world is falling apart, you're not falling apart? How is it that while everything is going wrong in your life, you still have this quiet confidence and this calm inside your spirit? How is it that you're in the middle of this storm and yet you have this deep assurance? How is it that you have this peace in the middle of the storm? While all the chaos is taking place, while everything is falling apart in your life, and you have this peace, it's the peace that the Bible speaks of, the peace that goes beyond our natural comprehension or understanding. And what you'll be able to say when those questions are asked one way or another, you'll be able to say with great assurance, because there's someone living in my house. You see, there's someone in the house. And it's not just a living organism like a plant or a dog, but it is the author of life is living in my house. His presence is with me. Jesus is in the boat. He's in my house. And because he is with me, I can sense his strength. and I can sense his presence, and I can sense his power and his peace because he is with me. He's in the boat with me. Just because I'm in the storm doesn't mean that he is not with me. I want to make a statement here. I hope it's your hashtag for the day, and it's simply this. It's wonderful advice from God's word to live by. This one statement says this: never let the presence of a storm cause you to doubt the presence of God. Never let the presence of a storm cause you to doubt the presence of God. I hope Robin Armstrong is watching today. She and Jeffrey are the ones who first introduced us to this one statement that sometimes we don't need to tell God how big our storm is. Sometimes we need to speak directly to our storm and tell it how big our God is. Never let the presence of a storm cause you to doubt the presence of God. Sometimes I think it's good for us just to take scripture from God's word and personalize it. God's word is a living word, and it is meant for us. It is given to us. So I don't think there's anything wrong with having a little license with the scripture and changing some of the pronouns out to personalize it and make it about us. Something like Psalm 46:1, to personalize it and say, God is my refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. To personalize Hebrews 13:5-6, where it says, he will never leave me, he will never forsake me, so I will boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. Personalize Psalms 23:4, when it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And you know why? Because my good God is with me. He never promised that the storm wouldn't rock you. He promised that the storm would not sink you. You see, he's in my house. He's on the boat. I'm not alone in the middle of the storm. And my prayer today is that we can find comfort in the fact that no matter what we're going through, even though we're in the middle of a storm, that we are in the storm with his presence. The second thing that I want us to look at today and embrace and remember from this story is that we are in the storm for his purposes. We're in the storm with his presence, and we are in the storm for his purposes. Jesus said in verse 35 in our same story, he says, let us cross over to the other side. It was Jesus's idea. He's the one who said, let's do this. Jesus is the one who put them in the middle of the storm. Why was he taking them to the other side? Jesus was God in the flesh. He knew what was around the corner. He knew what they were going to deal with on the other side of the sea. He knew that there was a guy over there who was possessed by an evil spirit, and Jesus was taking the disciples to the other side, and he was going to speak healing, and he was going to bring deliverance to this man who was possessed by an evil spirit. And Jesus, being God in the flesh, he knew that they were going to go through a storm. He knew that this storm was going to blow up out of nowhere. He wasn't caught unaware by this. He wasn't surprised by what happened. In fact, he was so at peace that he was asleep on a pillow in the middle of the storm. Jesus knew that he was taking the disciples in a boat directly into and through a storm. It was his idea to begin with. So we can safely say that they were not in the storm because they were out of God's will. They were actually in the storm because they were right in the very center of God's will. I cannot answer the question as to, did God cause the storm, or did God in his sovereignty allow the storm? I can't tell you whether God caused it or whether he allowed it, but what I can tell you with great assurance today is that God always uses the storm to work his purposes in our lives. In fact, I believe with all of my heart that that's the reason why James was able to make that powerful statement and say it with such confidence in James 1:2, when he says, my brethren, count it all joy. Count it all joy. In other words, I want you to move to a state of worship within your soul. I want you to move to a place of rejoicing within your spirit and within your soul. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. We could replace that with storms or difficulties of life or questions or confusions. But whenever you find yourself in this place, James is telling us, go ahead and rejoice in this. Count it as joy. And we look at that scripture and we read that and it makes no sense to the natural carnal mind. How in the world can you rejoice in the middle of a storm? That's exactly what James said, and here's why he said it, and we find it in verse 3. He says, knowing that the testing of your faith. In other words, there's some things that we just got to know. We may not feel it in our feelers. We may not see it with the natural eye, but there's some things that people of faith, we just have to know. He says, knowing. It also, another version says, because we know that this testing of your faith, some of us right now, I'm sure some of us that are watching today right now, you're finding yourself right now in the middle of a test. You're experiencing a test. And he is our good teacher. He is a good teacher. Oftentimes he's referred to as the good teacher. And he will test us from time to time. But I want us to be very careful about how we use that word, or at least how we interpret that word test. Because a lot of times when we think of being tested, we think of it as some sort of trickery on God's part. Like somehow he's just playing a trick on us. Are they going to get it or are they not going to get it? And he's trying in every way he can to get us to fail. And that's not the case at all. As a matter of fact, a good teacher will test us. But the purpose of the test is to pass us. There's always a good intention with the test. If somehow we fail the test, then we go back to ground zero again. We go back to the basics one more time. And he takes us through that learning process again. And he does it through love and with love in our lives. But at the end of the day, when we pass the test, he is our biggest cheerleader, because it's all about pushing us and moving us to the next level, about promoting us to the next place that he has for us. That's what a teacher does. That's what a test does. At the end of the year, at the end of the school year, you'll take a final exam. And if you pass that test, it'll move you to the next level. That's what a test does. It's not to trick us. It's not to play games with his kids. I don't believe that God's into that at all, but he's all about elevating us, and he's all about taking us to the next place and the next level, the next area of influence, or whatever it is that he wants to bless you with and do in the next season of our lives. And it happens as we pass the test. So James says, this is the testing of your faith. When you go through these various trials, go ahead and rejoice. Go ahead and give God thanks and worship and praise in the middle of the trials, because all it is the testing of your faith. And God, in his great love, he may be allowing us right now to experience something, even having our faith tested some. But all in all, what it is doing is it is promoting us to another level of faith. And this faith will produce perseverance, as the scripture says in James. Another word for perseverance is endurance. It's that thing that will get you down the road. It's that thing that will allow you to run and not faint. He goes on to say in verse 4, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. The reality is, when we're young in our faith, we need maturing. He matures us as we grow in his word, and he begins to allow our mind to be renewed daily, and he matures us as we begin to discover our spiritual gifts, and as we begin to make a difference in the world around us and in the sphere of influence that he's placed us in. He matures us as we go through certain storms. And in those storms, he does that work in us. Not to us, not necessarily for us, but in us. And that's the work that James was speaking of in that powerful scripture. In fact, the difference between where we are today and where God ultimately wants us to be is the storm that we have yet to endure. That's the test. We all know those people who are just rock solid in their faith. There are spiritual heroes. For you, it may be a parent or a grandparent. Maybe it was that Sunday school teacher who poured life and God's word into your heart. And I can promise you this, that those spiritual rock stars in our lives, they have been through some storms with Jesus. They know his faithfulness. They know his presence. And they have learned that there is a purpose in every single storm of life. They've learned that God is often doing something in us and teaching us something in the middle of the storm that we couldn't learn any other way in our lives. The question is, did he cause the storm? I don't know. Did he allow the storm? I don't know. But what I can tell you confidently today is that he always uses the storm. I remember a particular season in my own life, and I won't bore you today with the details, but I will tell you that I was living in a season of fear. I was living in a season of panic, and I was so worried that this one thing was going to happen, this one event was going to happen in my life, and it's the thing that kept me awake at night. It's the thing that brought anxiety and high blood pressure into my life, and worry and hair falling out of my head and all of these types of things. And then all of a sudden, guess what? My greatest fear happened. The what if actually did happen. They say that it's in the 90th percentile, the things that we worry about, the things that we fear, never even happen. Well, there is still that 3 or 4 or 5% that actually does happen. And here's what I've learned in walking with the Lord, that the things that we fear that do actually happen, he still is with us and he has a purpose in it all. So we still, at the end of the day, whether the fear comes to reality or whether it never happens like it does in most cases, either way, we are to put our trust in him and he's going to work all things together for good, for his purpose. And that worst fear came upon me. And during that season, as I was walking through that dark valley, as I was walking through the confusion of that storm and the waves were crashing in to my vessel, and as I was looking around and there seemed like there was no hope, and it seemed like my future looked very bleak, in the middle of all of that, I discovered something. I found a faith. I found a faith in the middle of all of that. I found a trust somewhere in the middle of all of that. And what I discovered was that my stability was not in the boat, but my faith was in the one who was in the boat with me the whole time. Too many times we put our faith, we put our stock in, we put our trust in the boat, the thing, the natural stuff. If this will work out right, as long as this will hold me together, as long as I can get this pill, as long as I can get this escape, as long as I have this kind of person in my life, as long as I can have this kind of possession in my life. And we're putting all of our trust and all of our hope in the boat instead of putting our hope in the one who is in the boat, who's always been in the boat, who will always be with us. And when I discovered that, that was the game changer in my life. That changed everything. I went through that storm, and today now I'm different because I learned that Jesus was in the boat the whole time. And he always has been since. And I know this, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he always will be. But see, the disciples in that moment in the boat, that moment of panic, they hadn't got there yet. They hadn't got to the other side yet. They didn't see the demon-possessed man delivered yet. They had not experienced all of that yet. All they were doing was finding themselves in the middle of a storm. And on every front, everywhere they turned, there was nothing but harm coming their way. There was nothing but trial. There was nothing but storm all around them. And they run to Jesus. Jesus, teacher, we're going to drown. Wake up, teacher, wake up. And what does Jesus do? I love this in verse 39. Jesus gets up. He rebukes the wind and he says to the waves, peace, be still. I don't even have this in my notes, but I want to pause right here and say that there are some people right now, maybe that's watching this. I don't know where you are. I don't know what's going on in your life, what you're facing. And I want to remind you, as I'm reminding you through this word today, that God is with you. I don't care what you feel. I don't care what your emotions are telling you. Your emotions will lie to you. God is with you. But I just want to speak peace over your life right now. For some of you right now, that's all you need, is you just need Jesus to step into the situation and speak his peace. And I believe that he's doing that right now in your life, whoever you are. Jesus, he rebukes the wind. He says, peace, be still. And the wind dies down. The water is placid. It's completely calm. And then Jesus looks at his disciples and he asks that question, that piercing question in verse 40. And he says, why are you so afraid? Why are you fearful? He's saying to them, if you will, he's saying, don't you remember? You've been the ones walking with me all this time. You've seen my power demonstrated. You know what I can do. You know who I am. You saw me actually open the blind eyes of the blind man. You saw me unstop the deaf ears. You've seen me do all of these things. Don't you remember that I am the author of life? And do you not realize that I am with you? I'm with you always. And in verse 41, Jesus asked, he says, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? And the Bible says that they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? Notice what they called him. They called him teacher. Teacher, do you not care that we drown? Teacher, teacher. Up to this point, Jesus was just their teacher. But what they would begin to call him later would be Lord. All of a sudden, that fear of the storm started to grow into a holy and a reverent and an all-filled fear of the Lord. They were saying, who is this? This is beyond anything we've ever seen. Yes, some blind eyes were open, and yes, some people got fed on a hillside, and that's some wonderful stuff. But this man, he actually speaks to wind, and it has to stop. This man speaks to waves crashing into vessels, and it turns placid. The fear of what might happen to them transferred into this reverent and holy, all-filled reverence for the Lord. So for a lot of us right now, we're in a storm. And if you're a follower of Christ today, if you are a follower of Jesus, I'm going to ask you the question that Jesus asked his followers that day on the boat. Why are you so afraid? You have nothing to fear because I'm with you. Have you forgotten? You're in the storm with the presence of God. And he is for you, and he is with you, and he is working in all things to bring about only good in your life and future. If we're in a storm, we're in the storm with his presence, and we're in the storm for his purposes. So why are we so afraid? As we get to know him, and he matures us, and we grow through the storm, and as we endure some storms with him, suddenly, here's what begins to happen. In the middle of the storm, suddenly, our hope is no longer in the boat, but our soul is anchored in the Lord. And that changes everything, because he's on the boat, and he's in my house, and he dwells within me, and he is with me, and he is for me. Therefore, as the Bible tells us in Timothy, he has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. So why are we so afraid when Jesus is in the boat with us? I look around our world today. There's so much confusion right now. There's so much turbulence right now in our world. There's so much confusion and fear and anxiety and worry. I hear it in so many conversations. And it seems as if at the end of those conversations, it seems as if we're putting our hope in something that can happen in our nation's government. And I appreciate the great nation that we live in. I appreciate the principles that this nation was founded upon. I'm so thankful for the great freedoms and liberties that we've been able to enjoy for these last 240-something years now. I'm so thankful for all of that. I'm thankful more than anything for the brave men and women who sacrificed and gave their lives so that we can enjoy and have these freedoms. But I want to be very clear today that all of this is just the boat. And we cannot put our trust and our hope and our faith in the boat. The boat will fail us. The boat is susceptible to the waves and the flooding and the crashing of the lightning and thunder and all of that. But he is with us. Our soul must be anchored in the Lord, the one who said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And we got to know that whatever situation we go through in life, no matter what the storms of life may throw us, no matter what happens in Washington, D.C., no matter what happens in my house, he is with us. And he's working all things together for good, for his purpose. His purpose is to be fulfilled in our lives. I'm so thankful for who he is in our lives, and I'm so thankful for who he is in your life today. And I pray that the God of peace, the God of all peace, will come and fill your life and fill your home and surround you today so that you will know and have that assurance that he is with you always, and he's working his purposes in every storm of life. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for your presence today that we can sense and feel. Even though we're not in the same room together, God, even though we're just gathering virtually, Lord, your Holy Spirit can penetrate every household, and you bring us together in just that way, in a spirit of prayer and love and community. And so I ask you today, God, to begin to do your work in every life. Everyone who's watching this, whether it be live at 10:30 or whether it be later in the week, God, that in that moment that they receive this word, God, that they'll be able to sense and feel and know your peace, your power, your presence in their lives, Lord God. And we know, God, that we're in the storm with your presence with us, and we're also in the storm with your purposes being fulfilled. And we're thankful for that, God. And so we rejoice, as James told us to. We rejoice, Lord, when we face these storms and these trials, knowing that you are working all things together, knowing, God, that you're producing something inside of us that is far greater than anything we could experience here in the natural. And we give you thanks and praise and glory and honor for it all. In Christ's name, amen.